football on Off the Ball.
There's something missing there psychologically. Just, we're not streetwise anymore. We just seem to have lost an edge. We don't have an edge at all anymore.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah,
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hello, hello. Welcome along to Word on the Street. It felt so unbelievably good to hear that sting. We haven't all been in the studio since, I think, July, which is absolutely crazy. If you don't know who we are, if you've randomly happened to click on this podcast this Thursday afternoon and you have no idea who we're talking about, I'm Susanna and I'm here with my co-hosts Eve and Rachel, and we host a pod every week called Word on the Street where we take a sporting topic and we basically find out what the public think. And we have not been in the studio since mid-July. We've all just been gallivanting.
It's been a very busy summer.
No, it's been mental. I don't think we really meant for this to happen.
No, and then it just sort of happened where we had to plan ahead a few weeks, and we covered our bases, but it's definitely been a while since we've had this lovely dynamic here.
It feels good. I feel like this is my place in this chair. I wouldn't want like that, but I do enjoy being back at it. What have you guys been up to? I know where I've been, but...
I have been in every GAA pitch across the island of Ireland, I think.
Playing like or that. Watching?
Bit of both. Watching, working, playing. Inter-county season's come to an end now, so back to playing badly. But it is great to be back. The last time I did Watts, I was off. Last time I did Watts, it was on Zoom, so it's nice to be back here physically.
Yeah, it does feel good. And we were out at the Irish Open, the tennis. That was the last time I did Watts, I think.
I think it was, because we had a little school tour and we went off for the day.
Fun.
And it was a lovely day. Like, we got a beautiful, beautiful sunshine and really interesting people to interview. And then, yeah, I think the next, it was only me and Rachel in the studio. And then I had a couple of weeks off and went on holidays.
Oh yeah, I did that too, actually.
And then finished college. And
woo!
Thank you.
Just handed in.
It feels amazing. I can now fully commit myself to Watts. This is my number one priority.
I promise, though, the working world isn't all that fun. You might want to be back in college in a few months.
I've been doing incredible things with my time, like sleeping, grocery shopping. I went for a walk the other day. It was magnificent.
You've been doing fun work, though.
I have been doing fun work. If anybody hasn't been keeping up to date with me and all my TikToks, I've been over at the women's
blog.
Yeah, it is. Go follow me. Follow Off the Ball. I've been over at the Women's Rugby World Cup, where Ireland have been sometimes taking the pitch by storm. Not so much last week in their game against New Zealand. But one thing they have been taking by storm is TikTok and the social media world. And that leads us to this week's episode, which we are calling the TikTok Effect. Now, I have to say, before we get into this, it kind of gives me PTSD, because I did speaking of college, I did an essay in my master's, 2 years ago now, called the TikTok Effect.
Oh.
And it was all about how, like people in war zones are using TikTok to gain support and put pressure on politicians.
Yes.
And it was so interesting, and nobody had used this term before. And now we're using it to talk about women's sport. So it's kind of crazy. It feels like only over the past couple of years, TikTok has become a completely different sphere.
Do you have TikTok yourself?
I didn't. But when I started working here, I was like, I need to...
Really? You didn't have it before?
No, just because I knew I would never come off it.
Yeah, fair.
I don't have the willpower or the self-restraint to say, that was a lovely 15 minutes of TikTok time. I'll take myself off the app.
I can spend like 2 hours easy at nighttime.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Like, 1 minute it's 10 p.m. and I'm in bed ready to go to sleep. The next it's like midnight and I've done nothing but scroll on TikTok.
Because I think I downloaded the app in 2019. So like...
Oh, that's earlier than me.
Yeah, it was earlier. And I don't know why, because I usually am very much... I try not to do doom scrolling, and I think it's a horrible... Sometimes you do just waste your time. Like, you waste
so much of your day.
But at the same time... Like, I recommend to my kind of older relatives, I'm like, don't download this app because it's not a very good thing. But at the same time, for I think people our age, it is so like monumentally at the front of so many conversations right now.
And it's where you're getting all your news. And I think that we have seen over the Women's Rugby World Cup.
Yes.
And it's just crazy the amount of exposure we've seen on TikTok specifically. Yeah, I think.
Especially from the Irish team.
Yeah.
I would have probably heard about the English team first.
Yeah.
Through TikTok and Instagram. But since maybe 3-4 weeks before the Rugby World Cup, the Irish team started to ramp it up. And now it's just flooding my algorithm, my FYP.
Same.
Eve Higgins and Anna McGann taking top spot.
Stop, they're everywhere. And I think everything I've seen, now I see all their TikToks, I think because I'm half searching for them and the few page brings it back up, constantly. But for a while, all I was seeing was that fleece. I presume that's what you guys have seen just everywhere.
Yes. I mean, as has been established on this podcast, rugby is not my sport, so I would never get any of
No way.
I would never get rugby content, men's or women's, on my For You page organically. But I did get the fleece TikToks. That was the start of it, and now it's more and more. So for anyone who hasn't seen the TikToks about these fleeces, Susanna, could you give us like a little explainer?
Yes, I actually have it written down, a little rundown, because it's just crazy how fast this all went. So basically on August 20th, so just before the World Cup kicked off, Anna McGann, she's a winger on the Irish team, she posted a TikTok with Eve Higgins, who's one of the centres, and they did this trending TikTok where they were like walking. It's something that everyone does, but they did it in their different Ireland kits. So their comfy clothes, their match day kit, blah, blah, blah. One of them was this comfy fleece by Canterbury, and they call it a oil spill fleece because it looks like it's had a massive oil spill on it. That hit 359,000 views on TikTok, and people just flooded the comments, basically being like, how do we get this fleece? We want it. It's incredible. So at the Ireland-Japan game, which was the first game of the World Cup, there were people in the crowd holding these massive signs saying, release the fleece. Like, everybody was just onto Canterbury saying, please, we want to get our hands on this fleece. So Canterbury commented saying, if Anna gets to 15K, they'll release the fleece. I think within a couple of days, because at the press conference on the Friday before the Spain game, I asked her, you know, you're at 18K now. Have they released it? And she was kind of like, no, I don't know what's going on. Now she's at 22K. And they did eventually get around. I'd say they needed time. They were like, where do we mass order like millions of these fleeces? So they set the release date for September 10th, which was yesterday. And they basically gave Anna and Eve 15 fleeces and were like, do a giveaway. And then I didn't even realize they had published the release date, but just all over my TikTok was girls posting pictures of Eve and Anna and being like, I want this fleece. And I was like, what's going on? Turns out Anna and Eve were like, oh, post a TikTok about us. You might win the fleece. So they went on yesterday at 9 a.m. They sold out in every single size from S to, I think, triple XL in 1 hour. 1 hour. Like, it's just mental.
Like, on the one hand, I'm like, that is so exciting and so incredible, and I'm so happy for them. On the other hand, I didn't get one.
Neither did I.
I'm raging. You didn't get one.
I posted a TikTok about Eve talking about this on the Off the Ball social channels. It hit 200K. I feel entitled to a fleece.
You deserve one.
I think
coverage.
I deserve one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it just shows to show there's a photographer called She Shoots Sports. That's a bit of a tongue twister now.
It is.
And she comes to all the World Cup stuff. She's great. And she's a big advocate for women in sport. And she had a TikTok and she wrote all this out. So shout out to her. That's where I got it from. But basically she said, this is a clear real-time case study in the marketability and commercial power of women's sports and its athletes. And I think that's just the major message of this. Like that, yes, it's cool and these fleeces are incredible. But the fact that a couple of TikToks managed to cause the sellout for a major brand like Canterbury in 1 hour just shows the power of women's sports, firstly, women's rugby especially, but also how great it would be for sponsors to invest in the game, how important it is for commercial partners to link up, because it's beneficial for them.
And there's a study done that says fans of women's sports are twice as likely to buy from a female athlete as opposed to other influencers because they're so trustworthy.
Way.
Yeah, so brands, get on it.
That's so interesting. Anyway, we've chatted for ages without giving you any audio from any public. So we will start. I said I spoke to Anna before the Spain game and I asked her about kind of the TikToks and the fleeces and the power that's had. And she had something really interesting to say.
But no, honestly, it's just been a bit of crack. Like, we work so hard on the pitch that any of our time off the pitch, we just chill. And we just show our personalities and the side of us that people probably don't get to see on the pitch. But Lo is unbelievable. Like, she's done such a good job for women's rugby in terms of spreading the word and getting new fans who never like would even be into sport into rugby. And to be fair, we've seen the same as well. Like, we had a couple of comments and DMs the other day saying that they started watching the World Cup because of our TikToks, and we were like, that's gas. You'd never expect that to happen. So if it's the case that a few little TikToks here and there can get new fans and people on board with women's rugby, it's something that we'll do.
I love how casual she is about it. When I was asking her, she mentions Low there, and that's in reference to Ilona Maher, who I think, if anybody has any idea of women's rugby, that's probably the first name they come across. But she talks about how little old TikToks, and she was so much oh, we're not taking it seriously, it's just a bit of crack. But it's having such a big impact.
My introduction to Sevens as a concept was through Ilona Maher's TikToks. And when me and Rachel were out today kind of interviewing people on the street about this, and we got talking to two young lads, I think they were from Cork actually, 17-year-olds lads. And we were asking, do you know Ilona Maher? And one of them goes, oh, yeah. I know her from my my Irish book in school. It's what do you mean?
I found that so bizarre.
So the Gaeilge, Bungabore or something like that, the textbooks that you use in school have reading comprehensions, and one of them is on Ilona Maher.
But why? It has nothing to do with Irish, the language, Ireland.
Just be a comprehension.
I never did these. I don't think I know what we're talking about.
So it's really just a story on someone and you get asked questions and you answer it. But the fact that she is an influential enough person in young people's spheres in Ireland via her social media presence and what she's done, both for the game of rugby sevens and rugby as a whole, but also just her own personal brand.
Yeah.
Because we know that women athletes make far less than men on average across the board. What she's done and the impact she's managed to have and the scale of it is insanity. So it's all little old TikToks. It's so much more than
They're so powerful. And Ilona Maher is a key example because they called it the Ilona Maher effect, the impact she had on the PWR, which is the women's league over in the UK. She joined Bristol Bears for only 3 months. Her debut, they had to move stadiums because they sold so many tickets that they couldn't accommodate everybody in the stadium they were meant to have it in. They put her on their social media a couple of times, the Bristol Bears. They increased followers by more than 3,000%. 3,000. That's just stupid. And they became the biggest women's team on Instagram, full stop. The average attendance in games doubled. I'm just reading here. The number of people under 35 buying tickets increased by 66%. She just had an absolute storm on the tournament as a whole. And that then filtered into the World Cup. I think she won an ESPN award just before, a couple months before the World Cup. And in her acceptance speech, she goes, oh, there's a Women's World Cup happening this summer. If you didn't know about it, watch it. I promise it'll be confusing the first time. But if you watch it again, it'll still be confusing. But I promise a couple of times and you'll love it. And the impact it's had, I think, what were you guys saying? That this, I think there's been 375,000 tickets sold for this World Cup, full stop.
Yeah. And even for someone like Ilona Maher to come from the States, I think not traditionally a hotbed for rugby, just shows that she has done this from the ground up herself.
Yeah, true.
I know a bit about rugby, but obviously she's class. She's got the talent to back it up, but that's not necessarily as important at the moment.
It's just
she's marketing herself.
She is not the best female rugby player by a country mile.
But if you asked me to name the best, I would have said her. Because she's who I associate with rugby. It's she's just reached that celebrity status where they were getting absolutely hammered by England in the first match. I watched until the very end because I was I want to see her get the ball. I want to see her do her thing. It's like going to see a film in the cinema because you know an actor in it.
Yeah.
That's the effect that these now celebrities have on the sport and the fact that they draw so many people in. We interviewed a girl, Keelan, today out in Dublin, and she spoke about how she's watching the World Cup.
So did you watch the last Women's Rugby World Cup?
No, I didn't even know it was on.
And so what's your main form of exposure now to this kind of current batch of the Irish women's team?
I just started seeing them recently on my TikTok, probably up to about one month ago I first heard of them.
And is it the Release the Fleece and all these girls?
Yeah, it's the Anna McGann, I think is how you say her name. She came up on my For You page and then I started following her, and then I was able to find more of the other players through her. Don't want to get any names wrong. I think it's Eve Higgins or Eva Higgins. I started following her as well then.
And does it make you more likely to kind of maybe follow them in future and watch the matches that are on right now?
Yeah, definitely. Since Anna came up on my For You page, that's the main reason I paid attention to the World Cup at all. If she hadn't, I mightn't have even known it was on again.
Something I looked up during the week, it was the Women's Sport Trust. They had a report out and they said that between January and April of this year, there was a 15% drop in women's TV coverage. Mm. That was the first time we'd seen that since 2022. But digitally, the numbers had gone through the roof. So it's just showing that traditionally, we would have been waiting for the slots on primetime television, like on the BBCs and the RTs, to put these matches out there. Now we don't even need that.
Yeah.
Those numbers have gone down, but viewership across the board has gone up. And you see that with the example there of Keelan saying she came across the game through TikTok.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. I think they do need to find a way, though, to convert those TikTok views into interest in the matches. And now we are seeing it because a ridiculous amount of people are coming to the games. Like, as it shows, the World Cup has sold more, I think, double the amount of tickets than the last one. So it's definitely growing. But World Rugby actually published like a blueprint for growth of the women's game before this World Cup. And their aim is not to make a profit out of women's rugby at the moment. They see this as like a long-term investment. So they want to kind of increase that visibility through the likes of TikTok. And then they want to, basically what they say is they want to turn those spikes of interest, like now around the World Cup, into a more loyal following. People who will watch women's rugby, throughout the year, not just stick around for a World Cup and a Six Nations. And they aim that by, I think it's 2033 when the World Cup is in the US, they will hopefully be starting to turn over a profit from the women's game. So it's really interesting that it's not even just coming from the players, but it's a whole organizational mindset of, we see the impact social media can have on women's sports. We're going to use it to our advantage. We're going to use commercial investment, sponsors like Canterbury, all those kind of things. And we're going to slowly catch up on the men's game, but in a very different way.
I think it's great that they're ignoring profit for the moment.
Yeah.
Because it could be very easy for like an organization, not rugby specifically, but any organization, to look at something that's not making money and could be in fact making a significant loss and abandon it and lose any faith in it. But looking at these things as like a long-term investment, it's worked. If you look at like women's football in England, is more popular than it's ever been. And they're winning Euros. They're reaching international finals nearly every time there's a tournament on. And their exposure has gone through the roof. When you invest long-term in this, you can reap the benefits, you know, so clearly. And as you were saying, like the spikes on social media, this is how young people are engaging with sports. Like, I'd love if we can find a combination where, as you were saying, Susanna, it is on our primetime TV slots. Mm. And at the same time, we have this kind of exposure on social media as well. Because the young lads we were chatting to on the street, I said, is that how you engage with sports, mainly on social media and like highlights? And he was saying, yeah. But it was great to hear, obviously we heard from Keelan, a young woman who's watching the Rugby World Cup because of what she's seen on social media. But it's true for men as well. So like, here's what Connor had said about it.
Do you know that the Women's Rugby World Cup is on?
I do.
And have you seen any of that on social media?
I've seen the Irish Women's Rugby team, but, and New Zealand.
How, like, is that your first, would that be your main exposure to the Irish Women's Rugby team?
Yeah, social media. I wouldn't watch the matches on like TV and stuff or anything like that.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think that you're seeing it more on social media?
I just feel like it's being more kind of pushed out to younger generations to join in on teams and stuff and get involved and just move around with other people.
And do you think you'd be more likely to maybe keep up with even the results of the matches because you've seen the girls on their social medias?
Yeah. Even highlights and stuff like on the Rugby World Cup website and their app and stuff, you can watch all the highlights and stuff, which is great. It's handy.
It is. It's hard to know whether that interest in watching highlights is enough of an interest or do you need them to tune into watching the games. But I do think it'll come, like anything.
Yeah,
it's the fact that he even has knowledge that the World Cup is on. The amount of people when it was on in 2022 in New Zealand who wouldn't have had a clue. Or even 2017, Ireland hosted a World Cup.
I didn't know that. Like, that just goes to show. I was a 15-year-old girl that, you know, probably could have been marketed towards me.
Oh my God,
me.
You were 15.
I was sorry,
finished
guys.
School. I'm not even that old.
Okay, let's not get into the age debate. Thank you very much. Moving on swiftly.
Sorry.
I was there though, but I think I saw Ireland play Australia and, you know, it felt big at the time because the bowl was sold out. The bowl in UCD. I think that has like 700 seats in it. Now, I think they squeezed like 2,000 or 3,000 in because they had people stand around the pitch. And it felt great because it was packed. 3,000 compared to 30,000 in Brighton yesterday. Like,
yeah,
it was, or not yesterday. My days are all mixed up. What day of the week is this? Thursday. I was there on Sunday.
I feel like you've been traveling so much, you're nearly getting jet lagged in the same time zone.
No, honestly, I'm so confused. My body hasn't a clue what's going on. But Sunday in Brighton, there were 30,000 people at that Ireland New Zealand game. And yes, Ireland were fantastic. And yes, they lost by 40 points. But like, it was insane. It gave me goosebumps watching the crowd. Like, the difference from 2017 to now, and obviously I wasn't at the 20, I think it was 2021, but I think it was delayed a year because of COVID. So yeah. 22 World Cup is mental. And a lot of that comes down to the exposure on social media.
Because I don't think, and I, listen, I'm guilty of this as well, I would know when a men's Rugby World Cup is like. Even the fact that you wouldn't call it the men's Rugby World Cup, you just called it like the Rugby World Cup.
Well, let's not go down that wormhole. Yes.
But in terms of you don't need exposure on social media to know it's on, because there's advertising everywhere and it's advertised on TV and everything, and you're going to, if you're in a pub, it's going to be on in the pub, you know, whereas like I was when I was away on my holidays in Lanzarote, I could see the Women's Rugby World Cup matches on the television screens in the pubs there.
That's cool.
So that was really cool. And it's, even if you don't intend to watch it, I feel like those kind of seeing it organically kind of in the wild helps as well, because you're kind of going, okay, that's, they're playing Japan there, how are they getting on? And every now and then you check in. And that's something that you don't, it's surprising to see when it's the women's game. You're not surprised to see it with the men's game.
Yeah.
But what I found kind of fascinating talking today, we didn't necessarily always want to be asking questions about, you know, how are you finding social media and the women's game? Like, how do people actually interact with it when it's the men's as well? Because athletes have always been, you know, vehicles for commercialization and sponsorships and, you know, for advertising and promoting various things. And now it's all done on social media. So you got chatting to somebody, you were chatting to Daniel, who had one of my favourite views on this whole debacle.
Would you like to see more men kind of using social media, sports fans, so you get like a more, like their personality across?
Like, I'm in two minds. I'd love to see more of their personality if it was in any way interesting, but that is usually not the case when you see that stuff. They're usually either saying the most boring thing imaginable or trying to sell me something, so I don't necessarily, I'm not in a huge rush to hear from more sports people unless they're actually about to say something interesting.
That's actually hilarious.
We then, further on to the conversation, I asked him if they were not trying to sell you something, but they were just maybe doing a viral dance, like on TikTok, would you be interested in watching that? And he just said, absolutely not.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Because the persona people have from predominantly male sports people is all you get in the post-match interviews, which the three of us will know.
Oh,
you
so
can
boring.
Nearly, you know what they're going to say before you even ask the question.
Yeah, you could write the script.
Yeah, we respected the opposition. Jesus, no, yeah, we won't underestimate them now next week, even though I know we're going to beat them by at least 40 points.
Yeah. Oh, we take every game extremely seriously.
Yeah, all the lads had a great game.
What's that viral GAA clip? Ah, sure, look at whatever. It's all the same answers that everyone gives. It makes sense, but also, yeah, it's boring.
No, it is. And especially, well, I'm sure it's the same across various sports, but in the rugby, which is what I'm most familiar with, it's bland. Like, they do not show any form of emotion. I don't think they even like us.
Aww.
I have been thinking that it's so nice to do the Women's Rugby World Cup where all the athletes want to talk to you and they want exposure for their game and they like you and they're excited to talk to you. And obviously the questions are difficult, especially after New Zealand last week when they lost by so much. They were frustrated. The questions are hard, but they give you so much time and they're there and they're happy to talk to you. When you go to a men's game, I am terrified 90% of the time because I feel like they hate me. Always.
Because they're not relying on media for,
and they don't want to do
exposure.
It.
No.
At the end of the day, it's kind of like a forced task that they have to do at the end of their game.
It's great though. We're going to a lot of the women's events this year. So the girls are chatting away to us. They mightn't have necessarily had that opportunity before. But this entire TikTok effect, it's even taking us out of the equation. They don't even need to be approached by the media anymore.
Don't say
because,
that.
You know,
lose our jobs.
Because they can put it out themselves. Like, it's just creating an independence for female athletes that is so powerful. It's like, oh, well, you're not going to interview me. You're not going to follow my story. I'm going to put my story out there and you can tune in. And people are tuning in. People care.
And the whole thing about it is the fans that turn up because of that, because they've come through TikTok. Like, I think it's like 50% of the women attending Rugby World Cup games aren't fans of the sport, have never come across the sport before, came through TikTok, found these players, and are now watching the sport. And my God, the atmosphere at these games is just incredible. It's not... I hate saying, you know, you're a boring old rugby fan who's there, either a corporate fan at the men's games, or not a corporate fan, a corporate kind of ticket.
Yeah.
So they're sitting through it, but they aren't really watching the game, or they're, you know, out for the night and they're not massive rugby fans, but they're just sitting there. And there's no, we know this, like, it's been the talk of the whole year. There's no atmosphere, sorry, at the men's rugby games. I can tell you 100% there's atmosphere at the women's games. And maybe it's just because it's a Rugby World Cup, but I don't think it is, because even when I did the Six Nations this year, like, people really care. And I think they care so much because they have a personal connection to the players.
And I think it's that personal connection that really shines through when you look specifically at what women athletes are doing on social media. Because obviously, not being very familiar with rugby, I was wondering how this translated to other sports.
Mm.
And so I was looking at the top 10 men and women in tennis and all of their TikToks. So most of them are all on TikTok. And like, the most followed man is Carlos Alcaraz. He has 1.2 million followers. And the most followed woman is Aryna Sabalenka with 1.3. And they both won, like, they won their respective categories at the US Open this year. But if you look at the top 10 in the men's and women's and the total likes that they all garner, the top 10 men, 25 million likes in total on TikTok. Top 10 women, 50 million likes.
Double.
It's mad. Double.
Yeah.
And it's because of people like Aryna Sabalenka and Coco Gauff especially, who are making these videos where it's very casual and they're using trending audios and they're just in their bedroom or they're in their kitchen at home and they, it's 30 seconds of their lives. They're putting out something that's more personal and that's something that maybe younger fans can relate to. And this is no offense to Carlos Alcaraz, but I was scrolling through his TikTok and any kind of come training with me videos were clearly filmed by his team on a professional camera.
Yeah.
Or it's collaborations with the US Open official account or with Nike or any of the sponsorships. There will be very few sort of, I'm Carlos and I'm in my kitchen and I'm going to do one of those rank all your favorite tennis players.
Yeah, or like a viral dance. Although yeah. I'd say he would do it if somebody got him on the camera.
Yeah. Well, Aryna Sabalenka made a TikTok with him after they won the US Open. And you could tell Alcaraz hadn't a clue what was happening. She was like, lip sync to this. And
but he'll do it at least.
He'll do it.
I think that's why he's probably the most popular men's player, because
yeah.
he has a personality that people are drawn to even without doing the TikTok.
Exactly.
I think he shows it on the court.
So if he was to do a few more casual TikToks, he'd explode
yeah,
in terms of popularity.
That's the thing. I, the whole debate, and I've seen it so much in articles over the past couple of weeks, but also people commenting on TikTok, is do we want to see it in the men's game? Is this something that we'd like to see? Do we want it to change from that traditional, like, most of the people who go to men's matches, actually not even most, because a lot of people are there on corporate tickets, but a lot of people who watch are hardcore rugby fans. They love the game. They're there to watch the game. Maybe they support their country or their team, but they don't necessarily love an individual player. Would we like to see more personality so that you have people who go to those games or watch because they like individuals?
You would. You would, definitely. I reckon maybe we'll see a bit of a shift in the women's game, though, because these rugby fans are rugby fans because they've been exposed to it from a very young age. So they're there, I love the game, I love rugby. Maybe not as many young girls, they are now, but a few years ago wouldn't have been exposed to rugby.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not, I love the game. Then they're exposed to these TikToks. So they see the players, they mightn't necessarily consider themselves sporty, but through a viral sound, they come across it. Rugby player on TikTok, they go to the game and yeah, they're there for the person, but they're going to fall in love with the game afterwards. So
hopefully
I think it could change, that you're going to have in a couple of years time more of these for the love of the game fans
yeah.
attending women's sports events, not just because of the players. But I still want to see the players putting themselves out there. But
you'd hope that it doesn't follow the men's in the sense of they'll lose some of their personality.
Honestly, for I don't think they can afford to do it for now. You know, it's obviously improving tenfold, but it's not something that they can afford to stop doing. And you see people getting into, like, the Sabalenkas and the Coco Gauffs are people who mightn't necessarily have followed tennis before.
Yeah.
I did a good bit of research on golf as well during the week, and it's a prime example of how it's a more of a niche sport, definitely, than soccer, football, GAA. But there's two men in the golf world. We've got Bryson DeChambeau.
He's such a, excuse my language, dickhead, but he's so funny online. Yeah,
great case study. And yeah. Minwoo Lee. And they're two golfers that have, just taken social media by storm. Like, they've got millions of likes on TikToks. Nobody really liked, I still don't like Bryson DeChambeau, but nobody really liked Bryson DeChambeau before because they thought he was really robotic. He took a real scientific approach to golf. Then all of a sudden he starts putting out these YouTube and he has a cult following because he's showing his personality.
Yeah. He does the ones where he shoots the ball over his house, right? Yeah. And tries to land it in like buckets and stuff.
And he'll give away a Bentley. Like, it's real sensationalist stuff.
I mean, that helps.
It's getting people into golf. And Minwoo Lee, his catchphrase is people shout, "Let him cook," when he kicks the ball. And it's a reference to gaming. Okay. So he's brought people that might have been fans of gaming into golf. Now they're following him. He's cool. He's young. He does put up funny TikToks, but he's brought players from people, supporters from other sports into golf, which is real niche.
Well, speaking of golf, because I think this entire conversation what we've been having is all about growing different sports and how do you grow sports organically. And with the golf at the Irish Open, I think we were talking about it on like the breakfast show and everything, and Nathan Murphy was there, and there's so many young kids watching Rory McIlroy like sink that eagle on the 18th, and that will stay with them, and they will, you know, their parents brought them and now they're going to become golf fans. But if you didn't grow up watching golf, you're not going to turn it on one day and be like, wow, I don't know anything about this, but I'm going to watch it. Maybe personalities is how you get into these sports.
Oh, 100%. But so even like Rory winning the
Masters,
I didn't start watching golf because I was really obsessed with Rory's success and whether he's going to win a bunch of things. His emotion is what shone through and is what made people want to watch him more. And that's not him on TikTok, but it is a personality thing. And weren't you saying earlier that now people do like DeChambeau? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Yeah, people do. People just didn't know him before. You know, they thought he was soulless, real robotic, scientific. He studied like physics in college, so applied all of that to his golf swing. He wasn't like a pure golfer.
That's so
But now
he's probably quite clever.
People love him. Like, they cult following on his YouTube, and he's one of the most recognisable names in golf now. We asked a lot of the people that we interviewed in Dublin today, would you know his name? And they said, yeah, they don't really follow golf, but they'd heard of Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
So he's an example of a male player that's just gone out there, made himself a brand, and now people know who he is.
See, the thing is, in rugby, is that they don't need to. I think that's the whole problem.
Yeah.
They already have such a cult following of the game in the men's sport that they don't need to show their personalities. Caelan Dorris does not need to get on TikTok and do a dance to have people come to an Ireland game because it's going to be sold out anyway.
And the thing is, there's a certain extent, or there's a certain amount in me that thinks you shouldn't have to go and do a silly dance to do your job.
Mm.
But at the same time, athletes have always been used as marketing tools. And for a sport like rugby, where you have generations of families who will go and watch the rugby, you're not necessarily growing into new markets. This is like the reality of the situation that we're in, is that TikTok is the biggest app in the world. It's working for the women. If the men want to stay where they are right now, if they're comfortable with that, keep on doing what you're doing. But if you want to grow, you need to be doing this.
I do think that's the thing, regardless of whether they need people at Ireland games. I think if they want to grow rugby at the grassroots level, which is what they say over and over again is the biggest goal of world rugby, RFU, any of them, is they want more people playing rugby.
You need to make it cool for young people to play
rugby. It's a fact. They know that the people attending the women's games, I can't remember the percentage, but are significantly more likely to pick up rugby than anyone attending a men's game, mostly because they're younger, so they still have the opportunity to, but also because they're being introduced to this new sport and it looks fun and the people who play it are fun. And there's these incredible new role models who make TikToks and are so cool. And wow, I could do that. Why don't I go join my local rugby club?
I think that's the thing. It's the I could do that.
Yeah.
Because if you ask like a young girl, maybe, oh, could you play rugby, and just describe like, oh, you're a typical rugby player, they'd probably describe, I don't know,
Johnny Sexton or something.
Yeah. But it's when they're coming across these things organically, they might consider them a TikToker first and a rugby player second for a while.
Yeah.
And then it's inspiring a generation 100%. Saying, oh, I can relate to that. I can do that.
Yeah. And I would selfishly love it for the atmosphere at a men's game. I would love if you could transfer those 30,000 fans at the New Zealand Ireland game last weekend, triple that with the same energy and put it in the Aviva. Holy crap. Yeah. You'd be in for such a game.
Because that's, you know, the players on the pitch need the 12th man sort of cliche is so true, you know, 12th woman in the stand. And is, you know, growing the game to make sure that the next World Cup is even better than this one.
Yeah, which I think it will be. Anyway, we are about out of time. We had a few more audio clips, but I think we covered it in our chat.
Yeah, we audioed a bit hard, didn't we?
We did. We were very passionate about this topic.
Yeah.
Okay, well, word in the studio. What's our final thoughts on this topic? Do we want to see it in the men's game, I suppose? And do we like the TikTok effect?
I think, in a way, I wish you wouldn't have to use social media to grow the game, because there are such negatives. Like, we know the Sheffield Hallam University did a study that female athletes are 19% more likely to get abused online than male athletes. But at the same time, when you see what's been happening in the Rugby World Cup for these women, it's undeniable they can be such a positive change. And, you know, it's made me pay attention to rugby, which is a sport I don't usually pay attention to.
Rachel?
Yeah, keep talking, girls.
It's a great finisher.
Yeah, can you tell I don't use the app very often?
Keep ticking, keep talking. Yeah, I would like to see it mainly because I think it would be funny to learn a little bit more about the athletes that I've followed my entire life rather than just see them in one bland way all the time. On your point, I mean, not every female player on the Irish rugby team makes TikToks. I think I don't think they have to. I think the people who do it love it.
Yeah.
And it's a creative outlet for them.
Actually, I changed my mind. I'm going to edit my word in the studio and say that, especially when it's a team sport, there can be different personalities who are all benefiting from this. Like, if you're a bit too shy to do a TikTok, which would be me, you know, you can still...
You can be in the outskirts.
You can be in the outskirts and you can benefit. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, that has been episode 17 of Word on the Street, the TikTok effect. And we are back, we promise. We're still going to be gallivanting a little bit. The World Cup obviously isn't over yet. I'm sure you have lots of championship stuff going on.
Yes, hopefully.
Well, I'm just here.
Eve will be here. Yeah. Eve will be hosting. But either way, we will be back on your feeds every Thursday from now on. So keep an eye out for it. And we can't wait to chat to you.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you. Hey!